You're listening to the Zipline Logistics Truck Yeah podcast, where we explore all kinds of hot topics in the logistics industry. Get ready to learn, laugh, and get your freight on. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Zipline Logistics podcast. My name is Jesse Jewett. Joined with me, as always, our Director of Training and Development, Teddy Lee Knox. Teddy, good morning.
Hello, how are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. We have a special guest today, Mr. Gary Davis of Allstate Brokerage. Gary, welcome to the Truck Yeah podcast.
No, thank you very much, and special is my middle name, so I'm all good with that.
We're happy to have you. We're happy to have you. So Allstate Brokerage, tell me everything I need to know about it. The elevator pitch for Allstate Brokerage.
Allstate Brokerage. I started this company in 1985, myself and a fax machine, going from account to account, and we've evolved into a $300-400 million company. And it's fun. We kind of landed in candy and confections. Obviously, we do meat snacks and dry grocery and many, many other things. But we now have 36 salespeople, 48 total people in the company, and it's growing double digits for the last 9 years.
Wow. Good for you. Good for you. Okay. So walk me through kind of the basics. So your customers are the stores, the retail stores, or the candy companies, or the snack companies, or both?
So let's start with the people that make the candy. Let's work at candy. So the manufacturers always look for a sales team to come and sell their particular product. We are fortunate enough to have about 350 manufacturers that we represent throughout the United States, selling to people like Kroger, Target, Walmart, Big Lots, TJ Maxx, all the major retailers, and some small retailers. Some we never sell to a store. We sell, if you took 7-Eleven for an example, there's 20,000 7-Eleven stores.
Yeah.
We don't go to the stores. We go to the corporate office, make a pitch, try to sell the particular product. They pick it up, and then we send orders into the manufacturer. The manufacturer then would send it to their wholesalers and deliver to their wholesalers. And then wholesalers would end up taking my product along with all the other products to the individual store. Mm-hmm. Same scenario with grocery stores, same scenario with department stores across the board.
I think I understand it. So there's an element of transportation. Obviously, this is a transportation podcast and a CPG podcast, right?
Oh, yeah.
So the wholesalers or your customers generally arranging the transportation side of things, if I understand that correctly.
In most cases, that is the case. We also have a rather large closeout, which if you go to the people like Off-Price, Ross, Burlington, TJ, Big Lots, people like that, we all ultimately will buy product and many times deliver it to their DCs. So okay, we get involved in both half. The most important part when you're dealing with chocolate and other candies is it either has to be refrigerated or non-refrigerated. Dry grocery is easy because it's just on a dry truck. Refrigerated has challenges.
Oh, yeah.
We're well aware of that for sure. Those unique products that are maybe protect from freeze. That's always a fun wrinkle that we have, especially in Ohio, is what's that saying? Like, you want the weather to change in Ohio, just wait 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So we see that with a lot of products that have special requirements, but then they're going into different areas of the country and those requirements change while it's in transit. So it's very complicated. I like the fact that you mentioned that you're dealing with the major retailers, obviously like Kroger, Giant Eagle, et cetera, but you also specialize in convenience stores, the dollar stores, the specialty discount, etc. That's interesting. So right around now, we're in the holiday season. Is this the busiest time of year?
It was the busiest time of year.
Okay.
So what people really don't understand, today we're in November, early November, we are selling Halloween 2025 right now.
Okay.
For holiday, was delivered again back in probably August, September. So we're really far ahead of the seasons, right? So our busiest season is not the busiest season of the holiday trend at the retailers.
Right. The execution is happening right now, but the sale is way far in advance.
Way far.
This is another tangent. I was in the golf business for a while, and I always found it interesting that the retail clothing companies, they're talking about spring 2 months ago, spring 2025, 2 months ago. So it sounds like it's a similar,
absolutely
similar program.
I think this is really interesting too, because this is something that consumers don't understand. They don't get that how much work goes into it in advance, 100%. Like how busy you are in the summer season preparing, or even early spring season preparing for the holidays. People think it's happening all right now, but now it's just the execution of it, putting it on the shelf, and then dealing with the forecasting issues. Maybe they didn't order enough, or maybe they didn't prepare. Or, you know, something like, I feel like we were always talking about different types of candy that come out every season, how excited people are for it. Like, oh my goodness, what a great last minute decision.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. This was years in the making.
Well, and we're consistently working with our manufacturers to come up with those new and exciting items.
Mm-hmm.
Case in point, I think probably everybody in this country has experienced freeze-dried candy.
Oh, yeah.
Freeze-dried candy, we took a position in a company, so we own some of the company. And, you know, you can freeze-dry damn near everything, right? From gummy bears to taffy to whatever you want to freeze dry. Some work, some we learned a valuable lesson, because when you freeze dry something, you have to freeze the candy, then you put it in a dehydrating. These are as big as semi trucks, and we have like 22 of them. And so you would think that this is not going to, a gummy bear, freeze dried gummy bear is almost flawless as far as temperature goes.
Yeah.
Well, if the factory's in Texas and it's 118 degrees, we put it on a dry truck. The dry truck then goes through the 118 inside that dry truck. It's probably 170 degrees. Time it gets to Pennsylvania to one of our big retailers, it's a big glop.
Yeah.
So we are consistently learning about product and new products. I mean, there's new products. TikTok is obviously the number one place right now that young people have come to. If you wanted to kick off a new product, that's the place. I don't care what, a peelable gummy. I don't know if you ever had those, but the peelable gummies was on TikTok for, I don't know, maybe a month. Is the hottest rage in the country. Did it last? Probably not, but it was hot for a while. You know, we have slime liquor. So it was another TikTok phenomenal thing. That we actually sold 30 to 40 containers a week coming imported because of TikTok. Very interesting. And then you go back to your forecasting. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Nobody could forecast 40 containers a week, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So is that a bad thing? Well, the shelves were empty, but the demand was there. So the customer would go back to the retailer looking for it.
Yeah.
And then once it was in, they would buy the whole tray, not mm-hmm. just one. So, you know, logistics is 90% of what we do is logistics. Making a, you know, we do Ghirardelli chocolate, we do Lindt chocolate, we do so many different things. They can put out the chocolate, but if we don't get it there in good mm-hmm. shape, so, and then the retailer from either their wholesaler or their distribution center don't get it there in good shape, is a disappointment for the customer. And once you lose a customer, you can't get them back.
No. And that's something we talk about on the floor a lot. It's something that I train on a lot, is we call it involuntary sampling. And it's something that we try to protect our customers from. Because if you are not getting your product there on the shelf, if forecasting doesn't go correctly and you can't get your product there, people are going to start buying something else. And that is problematic for the vendor, for your customer, for everyone. And like, how do you avoid that? How do you get around that when the demand is so high, when TikTok kind of explodes something that you weren't prepared for?
Well, and not only that, if the product's not on the shelf, your competitor item may be on the shelf.
Yep.
So they go, well, this is great. And the next thing you know, your item is kind of a forgotten item.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the big guys, the Hershey and Mars, which command the confectionery business, don't normally have empty shelves because
right.
they You know, if you took a Reese cup, how many different Reese cups are in a retailer? More tons.
Based on Halloween a few weeks ago, there's more than I could possibly imagine. There's the pumpkin, there's the mini, there's the
There was a werewolf now, too. Yeah, there's different shapes. Like, if you don't find the one you wanted, there is another one of the same brand right there waiting for you.
And there's a thick one, a thin one,
right.
A chunky one.
Dark chocolate.
Yeah, yeah.
White chocolate.
Yeah. So, you know, but so it's difficult for smaller companies, you know, to get the shelf space, number one, and that's our job. Most people don't even have an idea of what we do. Most people think that these companies just go sell Kroger, and Kroger says, oh, okay, we'll try, we're not. Well, you know, trying to get a hold of a buyer at a big company, and you're a nobody, you're in, how many emails do we all get that you go, junk, right? And so it's, we have a relationship business, and our relationship business is only good as your freight companies. Because if we tell the retailer you're going to have the product on November 20th and it doesn't show up on November 20th, it's not a reflection on the retailer as much as even the manufacturers. Because the retailer comes to us and says, hey, you said it was going to be here. This is your baby. Fix it.
Yeah.
I tapped it. Sorry. I get passionate about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is logistics. Passion's allowed.
Well, that's echoed in our past, certainly the 12 years that Teddy and I have worked here together. One of our founding principles was the relationship part of it. So we definitely feel that element of the business, right? It's, you can only do so much, but if you're in a partnership with somebody else, that they're going to go the extra mile for you. And that goes a long way, right? So
absolutely.
There's probably hundreds of companies, maybe thousands of companies like yours out there.
Probably not.
Really?
Probably only, we're probably one of the best. So, there are probably 100 companies like ours. And you know, there's companies like ours. We're in the food, basically. There's companies in dog, there's a pet,
right?
Electronics. So there are probably thousands, but there is only one ASB team.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's for sure. I guess a good saying that we have was like, if all else is equal, if everything is equal, they're going to go with us because of the relationships that we've established. So it sounds like it's a similar
100%. If it's a tie, we win.
Right.
Right. And maybe even if it's not a tie and we're 1-2%,
we're close.
We're close enough that they go, I can depend on this guy because he has hired and employed and contracted the right people to make sure that gets there.
One of the things that you mentioned about the buyers, which I think is so important, and one of the biggest challenges I see in this industry is that relationship piece and the disconnect between everything that happens when you think about logistics. Yes, the buyer asked for it on this date. The depot has no idea. They don't care. They're just receiving orders, and they don't care that the buyer wanted it last minute tomorrow. And that is one of the most important parts of communication that you have to get through to help avoid that issue of the buyer being like, you didn't deliver on time. We tried, your depot wasn't ready. You need more time. And being able to have that communication and that relationship to explain what's going on and get the buyer intervention to help, because there's too many disconnects because there's so many moving pieces that you have to be clear and you have to be communicative for all of these things to work well.
100%. Most of the time, the buyer really doesn't even have a whole lot of input. The DC is the boss. Mm-hmm. The buyer wants it there on the 15th. You wanted an appointment on the 15th. You can't get it till the 19th. And you have the truck drivers to me are golden, and people don't realize how important truck drivers are to not only food, but everything else we do. Day-to-day living, putting gas in your car, all these things rely on these truck drivers who, in my opinion, brutal hours, brutal job, you know, long hauls, you know, not seeing your families, doing all these other things. But, you know, if you can't get into that DC, certainly we communicate with the buyer and we can explain it, but the buyer really doesn't care. The buyer says, I wanted it here on the 15th, and you didn't get it here until the 19th. And I said, but I would have had it there on the 15th, but I couldn't get it into your DC. Why didn't you call the DC earlier? Mm-hmm. Where's the communication with you and the drivers And, you know, if he would have called a week ago, he could have got it on the 15th, but he called on the 13th. Well, we were booked. So again, it's all what you guys do, what we do. Communication is the top priority of everything. The driver needs to know he has to call 7 days before the due date. And if he doesn't do that, you know, and he doesn't know that, he just thinks, okay, I'm going to be there on the 15th. He calls on the 14th, so I want a 10 o'clock appointment. When can I get in? You know, the frustrating thing is to have drivers sitting for 2 days, mm-hmm. sitting at a DC. I just can't imagine being a driver mm-hmm. sitting in a parking lot for 2 days. Number one, no income, right? Right. I get no income. Number two, I'm bored to death. Number three, I could have made so much more money. So it's just a communication world.
Yeah. And not even to mention how the integrity of the product is doing in that trailer, depending on where you are.
100%.
And the cost if it's reefer.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that go into that.
And God forbid the reefer goes down. You have, you know, $100,000 worth of chocolate sitting in the back of that thing, and now you have soup. You know, yeah. And not only did you lose the $100,000 worth of product,
mm-hmm.
now you pissed the customer off, mm-hmm. right? Because the customer's not going to get it, because that $100,000 translates to $160,000 of retail sales for him. He misses his mark, making his bonus or his
yep.
plan, because to get another truckload of chocolate back into that DC, you're probably looking, depending on forecasting, and you could be looking at 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Before he could deliver again. Could be looking for, if it's an imported product, it could be looking for 3 months.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know.
And the added bonus of the white noise of a claim.
That. Cool. Sounds like someone's been doing this for about 3 decades plus.
I've been doing it a long time. And,
yeah.
And again, our company, ASB team, because I'm on the radio, I need to plug that, right?
Get it out there.
As many times.
You know, it's all about the people that we have. Right. You're either, it's not about the sale. It's about the closing the sale. In our business, we don't get paid until the product's delivered, the product is paid for, and then 30 days later, we get a check. And then my salespeople don't get their check until 30 days later on that. So, you know, it's all about people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The service element that goes into this industry that is forgotten by a lot.
100%. And technology, AI, you look at all this and we're on top of, you know, all the greatest, most expensive things there is. They're great as tools. You still need that personal person to mm-hmm. be able to execute it.
Yeah. The human touch goes a long way. And I think it still will, right? There's, like you said, there's elements where it's going to plug in. But I mean, talking to another person about the challenges and the things that you could deliver is really important.
100%.
Let's talk. We're talking about the holidays right now. I don't know. You're not going to reveal us any 2025 trends. Maybe that's proprietary information or you don't want to, you're in the process of selling for that right now. What can we expect here for the holiday season? Anything in particular that stands out to you that you're excited about other than slime? Was it slime liquors? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Slime liquors. Interesting story. Slime Liquors was imported from China. It's a sour candy with a little ball on it. Sadly, our company did all the testing and the Slime Liquors were unbelievably successful. Then there was knockoffs, right? One knockoff after another knockoff. And a little boy, one of the knockoffs, choked and died on the little ball, mm-hmm. the roller ball. So we pulled everything off the market, came in with a new one. And it's called Slime Liquor 2, and it's almost as big as what it was before. So coming up for this year's holiday, it's interesting how trends come and trends go, right? So take a cocoa bomb. I think, you know, they were 5 years ago, the hottest thing in the country, a chocolate thing. You throw in a glass of warm milk and wow, you have the best hot chocolate maybe that you could ever make. It kind of died out.
Yeah.
This year is huge again, but not just in a ball. We have so many shapes of cocoa bombs.
Nice.
So we have the gingerbread one. We have the Christmas tree one. So, you know, it's basically the same kind of product, maybe different flavors, but different shapes, different ideas. And the consumer likes different things. I go back to freeze dried. You know, we're going to have freeze-dried candy corn, freeze-dried pumpkins. So, you know, for Halloween 2025, I don't really care if I divulge it because we're already there and nobody's going to be there in time of us.
Start listening up to stock up for next year.
That's it. Gummies are now coming in to gummy sushi, all these different gummy shapes sizes. It looks just like sushi, but there's three different kinds of gummy flavors in there.
Okay.
And in a spring roll, right?
My kids love those. They go crazy for the gummies in different shapes. They're like, we can eat this for dinner.
Yeah. Well,
might as well, right?
Yeah. You know, there. As far as new goes, obviously we represent the best chocolates in the world, the Lindt chocolate at Ghirardelli. So even they have now transferred into different flavors and different shapes. You know, it's still all about the chocolate and how great the chocolate is. Let me think. You know, Christmas, the gingerbread houses. So gingerbread houses for years and years when you two were growing up, you know, you had a little tube of icing and you put the icing on and hold the thing together. It never worked. You got the super glue out.
It's so stressful. Getting those things ready to decorate.
But now we have come up with interlocking pieces. So no more putting the icing and hope it holds. Now they lock into place.
Goodness.
So now it's all about the decorating of the gingerbread kits.
Yeah.
What else? You know, the 12 days of Christmas has played itself, the advent calendar out. However, now we have a premium advent calendar. So instead of giving them a piece of chocolate that's not even chocolate, it's chocolate, it now becomes a real treat, you know? So I'm just trying to think what, you know, we sell Peeps in every different size, shapes, and, you know, and they keep transferring into gingerbread Peeps and all these different other items.
And I'm seeing all these things on like Instagram and TikTok as you're saying it, like the different things you can do with Peeps, like the holiday treats and how you do this. And it's just, it's so crazy how someone will get on and do something with this candy and then it blows up and everybody needs to go get Peeps because they need this for the holiday party.
And then you take a retailer like Michael's and Joann's and Hobby Lobby, who are great customers of ours. You know, they now are buying more of those individual things for that, to make the kits, to decorate it. And maybe at the end result, you could have bought this on the shelf for the same amount of money, and maybe you even paid more for it. But there is something about this family values. You can sit down with your kids and for an hour, and now a half hour, whatever, and get them off the phone, get them off the iPad, and do something creative with the children that brings in the family values. And to me, what we try to do, besides making the world a sweeter place, you know, we want to, I personally have I have three daughters and four grandchildren, and it's the best thing in the world. You know, they come to my office, I have a sample room that's probably 10,000 square foot, and you would think that they would go down there every day. And now, after years, you know, like the oldest one's 8, 7, and brand new one, they gravitate to something new, something exciting. They don't even care about the old stuff anymore. It's interesting.
That's very interesting.
These interlocking gingerbread houses are going to change my life. The amount of times I had to stay up late to prepare the gingerbread houses so we could decorate them the next day.
Yeah.
I'm going to have so much time on my hands. Well,
you're doing some overtime GC work on the gingerbread houses.
Just to get the family together at a table, like you were saying.
Yeah.
Now I'm just going to be able to like hang out.
Well, and if you go to a place like Costco today, you can buy one already pre-built, right? So all you have to do is decorate it, right? Now you can do that in 15 minutes, right?
Yeah.
But you know, it's always that something I love what we do to bring families together and then put it out there and everybody can brag about how it's like carving pumpkins, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you like mine better than yours?
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, before we let you go, you mentioned relationships. Any other advice for companies looking to succeed in managing the holiday inventory and supply chain challenges? You said getting out in front of it, relationship building, communication. What else did we miss? Have fun. That's always a good one.
Yeah. I mean, again, it really comes back to communicating, right? Once you have your commitment from the retailer, our job is not done. the forecasting is monumental. If you follow the market, chocolate prices are through the roof, right? So you can't make too much of something this seasonal just on the hope that you can sell it, because the cost of the chocolate today is off the chart, highest it's ever been. So communicating with everybody, not just the customer, not just with the manufacturer, but also with the freight lines, with you guys, to say, this has to be here. So if, as long as you keep the communication going, again, the retailer, we can't do much as far as a retailer goes to make sure it gets on the shelf, make sure his planogram is, labor is very intensive today.
Yep.
So if you walk in these stores, and I walked into a Target yesterday, you would think that the Christmas is all done. It's half full. Why is that? It's because of the warehouse of that particular retailer didn't get the product out, or you guys didn't get the product to him.
Right.
One of the two things. So again, it's, I just want to reiterate how important the logistics and the freight and the truck drivers and the drivers are to this whole country.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good note to end on. Correct me if I'm wrong. AllstateFoodBrokerage.com is where folks can find your website.
Or ASBteam.com.
I love it.
That makes it easier, so you don't have to type all those damn letters.
Do you have a personal TikTok handle that people can look up?
No.
Okay. I don't either.
I'm on TikTok a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm on specific industries on TikTok that I want to see. And again, TikTok is an amazing thing, and I'm sure there's other amazing
social media platform,
but TikTok has really became the one. I have a nephew who's a vice president of TikTok in New York.
Oh, wow.
And you would think that would do me some good getting ASB team on there. Hasn't done anything so far, but now they have store, right?
Yeah.
They have a store, TikTok store. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And you can go on there, and it's amazing. It's worth looking for.
That's a whole nother episode, but do they have the trending products? Is that what they sell? What do they sell?
They sell almost everything that you can buy on any of those other websites.
Yeah.
And I don't want to plug TikTok because, our country.
This is about you.
Yeah. But they sell things for a lot less than other people do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Wild.
Well, we've talked about before, the importance of trade shows to make sure that you're for everyone involved, to make sure you're getting out there and kind of seeing what other products are doing and getting ideas. And TikTok is bringing that to you, which that research element is really important. You can't just stay stagnant. You have to continuously doing research and evolving.
We probably attend different shows a year, probably 20 shows a year.
Really?
So Expo West on the West Coast is where all the new products that come in food product. Fancy food show. There's a summer, there's a winter. Next week there's a private label show.
Mm-hmm.
So there's convenience.
Sweets and snacks.
There's NAX, which is a national convenience store. So we just sit here and you picked that up. That was good.
We go through all, we just went through a podcast episode about trade shows.
Yeah.
We listed all the ones you listed. So we're on the right track.
But again, and I'll bring anywhere from sweets to snacks. We'll bring 26 people there,
yeah,
which is expensive. Vegas, I tend to go myself because I like Vegas, and Teddy's father loves Vegas, and we're friends, so it works out really well for us. But we walk those shows for 3-4 days. You see how many gummy bears is there? There's a lot. So I'm not interested in the gummy bears. What I'm interested in is, let me see the new peelable gummy bears. What the hell is that all about? Why, I will tell you one more thing that I see in this happening here, and you saw with the election, you see the Latino growth in this country.
Yeah.
Extremely important. We are now bringing in official Hispanic candy from Mexico.
Cool.
And to the United States, and the results have been overwhelming. So, you got to look at different categories of the consumer, make sure you're supplying the consumer with what they really want or what they remember. Nostalgic is great for us. My generation remembers Necco wafers, right?
Love Necco.
Your generation probably has a different favorite because you grew up, you're younger than I am. Hispanic people have not had that luxury. If you grew up in Mexico, let's just say,
or, yeah,
you know, to be able to go back to that
sure.
heritage. So we're trying to bring that into the United States.
That's really cool.
That is.
Well, Gary, thank you for joining us. Teddy, it's been a blast.
Thank you. This has been fun.
Thanks to all of our listeners on another edition of the Zipline Logistics podcast. We'll see you next time.
Give us a good rating so we can get Gary back.
Yeah, give me a good rating too.